Well, good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. Thank you for joining us as we prepare for the birth of God's love in the world once again. Again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End. We're delighted that you've joined us, and especially if you braved this morning to come out for the very first time or you've just begun attending, welcome. Those of us who are here week in and week out, we'll seek out folks we don't know, shake your hand, and express our hope that you'll make a home here with us. But if we don't get to you quickly enough, you find somebody you don't know. And if you're new, that should be fairly easy. You introduce yourself to us. We would love it if you would find a home here with us. And, of course, one way to do that is by getting involved in what God is doing through this congregation. You'll find a whole host of things that you can be involved in our bulletin insert. I'm going to list a few of those now. First of all, this evening at 5:30 in McWhirter Hall, we have our annual Advent Wreath Workshop and Dinner. This has become a grand tradition here at West End. Families of all sizes, shapes, and descriptions are welcome, and if you don't have other family members here, you come and you find a family. You can all create an Advent wreath which will help you observe this particular season, and we hope you'll take advantage of that. This evening, 5:30, McWhirter Hall. Also, next Sunday, you'll have a chance for an intergenerational event called Journey to Bethlehem. It's at 12:15 next Sunday. There will be a delicious lunch catered by Martha Stamps. It'll be in McWhirter Hall. And you'll have a chance to experience the stories that may have come to seem all too familiar in a new way. So I hope you'll plan to do that. That's after the late service next Sunday, 12:15, December 6th. Also, if you don't have a Sunday school class, all through Advent, the Christians Under Construction is leading a class called Connections in McWhirter Hall during Sunday school hour. It's specifically for folks who haven't found a place in a small group or Sunday school class. You're welcome to come to every session. You're welcome just to drop in. Although, I think during Advent, you'd probably want to come to as many as you could. That's Sunday school hour next Sunday and following. I hope you'll give it a try, McWhirter Hall Connections class. Also, on this coming Wednesday, December 2nd, from 6 to 7 in the four-story theater, we will have an opportunity to hear Kara Lassen Oliver and Jenny Youngman talk about how we can slow down as families and really celebrate this season. Both have published books recently with the Upper Room. Both are about how we can work with children and youth and adults to take time each day during these seasons especially, but all through the year, to recognize God's presence and to get a deeper sense of who we are and whose we are. I hope you'll join us this Wednesday, four-story theater, 6 to 7. Also, next week, December 6th, the Chancel Choir and Orchestra will be presenting the choir concert at 4:30 here in the sanctuary. I know many of you will already have this on your calendars, but if you don't have it, you'll want to put it on your calendar. Next Sunday at 4:30 here in the sanctuary, it will be an important part of your Advent observance. Also, we will be welcoming a new youth minister to West End. Emily Robbins will be coming here starting January 3rd. She is a delightful leader of youth who has great experience, and we are very fortunate to have her here. We'll be announcing this again, of course, when she arrives, but we wanted you to know that she has agreed to come and serve us in that capacity. And after the first of the year, I know you will want to welcome her. And then finally, there is a correction. We have been under the impression we were going to have our charge conference at Edge Hill. That is not correct. The location has been moved. It is at John Wesley United Methodist Church, 901 Benton Avenue. It is at 2 p.m., just the way we've advertised, 2 p.m., but at John Wesley United Methodist Church, 901 Benton Avenue, for those of you who are planning to attend. You know, waiting's kind of hard. We already hear Christmas music on the radio, don't we? There's not much of Advent out there anywhere. And yet in here, we know the value. Sometimes you appreciate what you've waited for. Let's talk about what we can do during this time that we're not just waiting, we're getting ready.
call on Christ, the hope of the world. We turn to Christ, the sacrifice for the world. We rest in Christ, the redemption of the world.
Members of the Upper Room class, one of our longest classes, are joining in the lighting of the first candle for the Advent season. We light this first candle on our Advent wreath as a sign of hope for the coming of the Christ into our world. Hear these words from the prophet Jeremiah. "The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. And in those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which they will be called: the Lord is our righteousness."
In confession, we acknowledge together the ways that we have turned from the light of Christ. Let us pray together. We confess that we are too easily distracted by our own temporary concerns. We embrace pleasures that do not satisfy and nurture helplessness amid our anxieties. In doing, we miss the signs of your presence, your joy in the gift of love, your hope in the midst of suffering. Teach us to awaken to your arrival in our lives. Transform our frailty by your power, our afflictions by your healing, our failings by your grace. May the grace of Christ, extended freely to all, fill you with the assurance of his love. Amen. Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Holy God, help us to give voice to the wonderful news. You yourself are coming to dwell among us. Quicken our imaginations to find new and creative ways to proclaim Christ's coming. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel according to Luke. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
please be seated. And if there are other youngsters who'd care to join us, please come down. You can bring a parent, grandparent, friend, if that makes you feel better about coming down. Well, we've had a couple of important holidays, you know, Thanksgiving, and we've got Christmas looking forward to. So I want to be the first one to wish you a Happy New Year. What, you think I'm a little early? I'm not. Today, the first Sunday of Advent, is the beginning of the Christian year. It is the new year for us to tell the stories of Jesus. Now, not everybody celebrates that, but we do, because we think it's really important. Advent is just a big fancy word for looking forward to somebody important coming to visit. That's all it is. And we're looking forward to someone really important, aren't we? We're looking forward to Jesus. We're going to tell that story again about Jesus' birth. You know, when I was about your age, on holidays, sometimes my mother's family or my father's family would come visit us. And I would always be at the window looking, waiting for them. It seemed like it was days before they arrived. I was an only child, so I didn't have any brothers and sisters. I had to wait for my cousins to visit to have somebody to fight with and to play with and to eat with. And, you know, when I think of holidays, I think about eating a lot. And so I would ask my mom, how long will it be? She would say, oh, it won't be long. When are they going to get here? They will get here when they get here. Well, I knew that already. So she would tell me, why don't you come and help me get ready? And you know what? When I came and I helped her, the time passed a whole lot faster. And before I knew it, there was the sound of a car or a truck out in the gravel, and the family was here. Well, you know, that's what we're about during Advent. We're not just waiting for the arrival of somebody really important. We're getting ready. We are busy getting ready for God's love to be born in us again. So that makes this a pretty special holiday, this New Year's Day for the church, doesn't it? Let's pray. Thank you, God, for giving us these stories to tell, to remind us of your great love for all. Thank you for giving us something to do, not just wait, but to get ready. Thank you for opening our hearts and lives to your love so that we might share that with others. In Jesus' name, amen. And thank you for coming down. You know, in my 40-plus years of being a member of this annual conference, I cannot tell you how many times someone has said to me, don't you think it's the end times? Could things get any worse? Have things ever been this bad before? So for at least the last 40 years, it's been the end times in somebody's mind or other. In truth, it's been the last 2,000 years that the church has thought, oh, it couldn't get any worse than this. Oh, isn't it the end time? Isn't it time for Jesus to return? Well, I'm going to ask you a somewhat audacious and somewhat awkward question for the church. What if Jesus was right? Now, you're sitting there saying, of course he was right. He was Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. But he said that this generation shall not pass away until the kingdom of God is established. And yet for 20 centuries, we've been assuming, or at least acting like we assume, that Jesus got it wrong. It didn't happen. We keep expecting something in the future, some big dramatic event somewhere to happen, because we assume that Jesus got it wrong, because I think we're unwilling to admit the possibility that maybe we missed it, that we got it wrong. That maybe what Jesus is talking about there is not some event way down into the future. But what Jesus is talking about is that within the body of followers, of believers, he would return. He tells the story of the fig tree and the other trees. You look at the trees, and when they begin to blossom and the leaves come out, you know it's time for spring. What if we are to be the fig tree? What if we are the signs of the time? What if we are supposed to be what we call ourselves, the body of Christ? What if Christ has returned in us, and Jesus had it right all along? And we are the ones who are expected to embody that love, that kingdom. Some call it kingdom. And that's kind of helpful for me, because quite frankly, we in North America don't know much about kings, do we? And even in other parts of the world where they still have kings, they're pretty much figureheads. But we do know something about kin, don't we? We've just been with them on Thanksgiving. They're those people we love sometimes and can barely abide sometimes. They're the cousins who come and we fight with and we play with and we eat with and we try our best to love. So maybe we are to be the kingdom of God. So that when the world looks around for a sign, where is God? When people are asking, isn't this the end time? Could things get any worse? Look at the situation in the world, that they will see a flowering tree called the church. Called, let me be more specific, West End United Methodist Church. And when they see the leaves coming out, and when they see the blossoms, and when they see God's love being exuded, not just in this room or this building, but throughout the world. When they see the loving light of Christ being shared across the community and the globe, they will know those are the signs that the kingdom of God has been planted. The seed has been planted here, and it's growing and flourishing. And now I have a second question for you. A number of years ago, I had the good fortune to meet a one-eyed poet named Robert Creeley. I was in my mid-20s, so it was a number of years ago. Sorry about that. We're having mic issues, I guess. I already knew his work, and I especially liked one poem called Kore. In it, there is this kind of legendary mythological female figure, and at the end of it, he closes the poem with this question: love, where are you leading me now? And that question has stuck with me. Because to me, that is the central question for me as a believer and for any body of believers. Love, where are you leading us now? That's our theme for Advent, actually. Where is God's love leading us now? As a congregation, as individuals, as a denomination. You know, it's interesting, throughout this season of Advent, we're going to be telling stories about God's love leading people into places they never wanted to go. That's where God usually takes you, into those places that you never wanted to go. We'll tell a story about a girl, I won't say a young woman, she was just a girl, and a stranger appeared to her, and the stranger said she was going to have a child, and she wasn't married, and she didn't really understand, and her husband-to-be certainly didn't understand, not at first, her parents didn't understand, the neighbors didn't understand, and yet she said, "Let it be with me according to your word, and let love lead her into a place that no girl of the first century would have ever desired to go." To help her through, she went to visit her kinswoman, Elizabeth, the one no one thought would ever have a child, who was with child. And Elizabeth's child recognizes Mary's child. And the two talk together And that child that Elizabeth gives birth to grows up to be led by God in a very different way. He lived out what could be called an alternative reality. John lived out in the wilderness, and he dressed in skins, and he ate carob pods, or locusts, which is a little more interesting, but probably carob pods. In any case, he faced down the most important, powerful people in his denomination, in his religion. And he called them a brood of vipers. Not so nice, huh? He challenges them if they have two coats to give one away. Led by God's love, he finally is beheaded for challenging the wrong person at the wrong time. Love, where are you leading us now? When Joseph finally does get the idea that this thing that is happening through Mary may have something to do with God, and they have to go to Bethlehem to find a place to stay, they're in the street. There is no place to stay. You've seen all the Christmas dramas where there's an innkeeper. Of course, there's no innkeeper in the story in the Bible. Just no room in the inn. And I've often wondered why we focus so much on those who reject this refugee family, and we never think about, or rarely think about, those who actually did say, well, it's not much. It's connected to the house. It's with the animals, but you're welcome to stay. Those who gave welcome to those no one else wanted. How was God leading them? How was love leading them? And then when a wicked king arises who seeks the death of that child and many others, and the Holy Family literally become refugees in Egypt. Does this sound familiar at all to you? You listen to the news? We never hear about those Egyptians who take them in, who teach them their language, who help them with their culture, who help them get established, who help them make a new life until it's safe to return home, until that wicked king is gone. Where was God leading them? Where was love leading them? You see, all of Advent is one story after another, after another, after another of love leading folks into places they never expected or wanted to go. And God doing remarkable things with that. And so that's our question. Or I should say, those are our questions. What if Jesus did get it right? What if we are to be the sign of the kingdom? What if we are to embody the kingdom of God, the body of Christ for the world? What if we are to be that place that is led by love, not fear of the other, not hatred for the other, not separation from the other, but love, God's love? What if we are to be the fig tree blossoming to show what God's love can do? And then the next question that applies to us directly: love, where are you leading us now? I don't have the answer for you, and I don't have the answer for this congregation, but I believe that we can find that. I believe that if we watch and listen and get ready for that love to be born in us again. You know, we tell these stories over and over and over and over again, in part because they're so important, and in part because we're forgetful. Sometimes in telling them over and over again, we get to the point that we think we know them. Let me invite you to hear them fresh. As you hear these stories during Advent, ask yourself, where is love leading me through this story? Where am I being led now? Not by fear, not by what you hear on the television, not by what you read in the newspaper, but by the stories that God has offered us of how love has led in the past, and love will continue to lead us now. Thanks be to God. We affirm our faith in lots of ways, most powerfully in what we do. But sometimes we borrow words to affirm our faith. So let me invite you to stand as you're able. Turn to number 883 in your hymnal, and we'll borrow a few words to speak of our faith. We are not alone. We live in God's world.
West End United Methodist Church welcomes all who gather to worship with us today. If you are a guest among us, a special word of welcome is extended to you. We hope you will join us for a time of fellowship in Reed Hall, which is through the doors to your right following our worship service. First-time guests who are worshiping with us today are invited to join the congregation for coffee and fellowship. In the pew racks in front of you, you will find a gray card. On one side of the card, you may record any comments you have for church staff or lay leadership. If you desire a call from one of the staff persons regarding your comment, please indicate that on the card and include your contact information. On the other side of the card is a place for prayer requests. Please indicate if these prayer requests are to be shared or are confidential. The card can be placed in the offering plates as they are passed down the pews in a few moments. You are invited to please take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the attendance pad you find near the center aisle down the pew if you have not already done so. And as the pad is passed back down the pew to the center aisle, please take note of those who are worshiping with you and greet anyone you may not know at the end of our service today. Our rose on the communion table today is to celebrate the birth of Lucas Ezra Dunavant, who was born November the 14th to Linda and Daniel Dunavant. He is welcomed also by his big brother, Keith. Today we also offer our sympathy to Mark, Nancy, Sam, Caroline, and Tucker Deaton, who are mourning the death of Mark's father, Donald Jason Deaton, who died Monday, November the 23rd. A memorial service will be held on Monday, November the 30th, at Christ Episcopal Church in Martinsville, Virginia. Prepare our hearts and minds to hear you speak to us, loving God, as we lift up both our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of power and glory, we remember your awesome deeds across the ages, the times you saved us and brought us home. Yet we also remember times when we felt alone and afraid, O God. We are your people, the work of your hand. Look upon us with your shining face, especially in the time of need. We pray for those who look to you for healing and hope, those who are sick or recuperating from illness and injury, those who are lonely and need companionship and care, for those for whom the holidays bring sorrow or pain, for whose deep sadness overshadows joy. Let your face shine upon us, O God. We pray for people in need of restoration and reconciliation, for those battling addictions and those in recovery, for people estranged from those they love, for someone lost in grief, for someone far from home. Let your face shine upon us, O God, that we might be saved. Renew the spirit of a world grown weary with waiting and hoping. Especially we pray for wars to end, for hunger and poverty to be crowded out by abundance. And we pray, too, for the church, because we also have grown weary in our waiting and watching for your power and glory to be made known. Grant us clarity, passion, and true fellowship, so that we are awake to your presence. Let your face shine upon the church and all this weary world. We pray as we pray in one voice, saying the prayer Jesus taught his disciples to pray: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. God has enriched our lives in every way. Let us share God's tithes and our offerings with thanksgiving for what we have received.
Don't forget those who are attending Charge Conference, 2 p.m. this afternoon, John Wesley United Methodist Church, 901 Benton Avenue. And now, go forth, led by God's love, to serve God and your neighbor in all that you do, knowing that the source of all love, the one we name God, God's love walking in the flesh, the one we name Jesus, and God's love with us always, the one we name Spirit, will be with you now and forever. Go in peace.